Matthew 23 is where we're going to begin tonight. If you open your Bibles there, Matthew 23. Glad you're here. What a great number we have. So excited that you want to come and study God's Word with us. We're really thankful for all that are visiting with us, the visitors that are here. I want you to understand you're not alone. I'm a visitor here too. Brad's the one who preaches here. I'm just here for the week, so I'm visiting along with you. So you're at home here. We're thankful that you've come, and we're excited that you're with us. And let's all open up our Bibles tonight as we study about overcoming discouragement. Like, as Brad's already mentioned, there's not a person here that hasn't been affected by that. And multiple times, from multiple sources. There are some times when you put a lesson together, you almost know that it's not going to apply to everyone. Imagine you're teaching a lesson on maybe marriage, and somebody's thinking, I'm not married. You're teaching a lesson maybe on parenting. You think, I don't have any kids. But this is a lesson that every one of us has been affected by. We've all been discouraged. We've all had at various times to have to deal with it. And I want to encourage us by pointing out before we even begin, Jesus knows how you feel. In Matthew 23, this is the late in that last week. And Jesus has had that incredible day where almost from the time he got to the city to the time that they leave, Jewish leadership have been all over. They have been hounding him all day long. And Matthew 23 kind of culminates with that, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he opens their eyes up to their character. And as that's all about to come to an end, look in verse 37. Matthew 23, verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets, you stoned them that have been sent to you. How often would I have gathered thy children together like a hen gathers the chickens under her wings, but you would not. That's discouragement. Can you paraphrase that a little bit? What Jesus is saying is, I love you. I want to help you. You mean something to me, but you won't come. You won't listen. You reject me. So I want to open up my wings. I want to help. But you won't allow it. That's discouragement. Jesus knows how we feel. We're not alone in this. This is a lesson for all. And as we talked about a couple nights ago, how we respond to that makes all the difference in the world. Let's not just react to it. Let's properly respond to it. Because how we handle that is awfully important. A couple of definitions before we begin. Discouragement, by definition, is a temporary feeling of disappointment. Now, we're not Webster. That might not be how we would phrase it individually. But we understand the concept of it. Disappointment, discouragement is a temporary feeling of disappointment. Problem is, if we don't handle those temporary feelings properly, they hang around. And all of a sudden, they're not temporary anymore. The disappointment, the discouragement leads into full-blown depression, which is not temporary at all. Definition of depression is a protracted period of disappointment, an extended period of despondency. And that's serious in a lot of realms. As you well know, leading cause of suicide is depression. We better be able to handle disappointment. We better make sure it stays temporary. Not only is it an emotional consequence, but we're talking more so tonight about serious spiritual consequences. If we don't handle our disappointments very well, if we don't handle our discouragements very well, there's going to be some stagnation. There's going to be some detachment. We will pull away. We'll get more detail with that later on. Our spiritual fire, it's going to break down. Without even there being some intent, we're just going to cool off spiritually. And if none of this is handled well, ultimately the end result is there will be a falling away. We're going to apostatize. Guarantee that. It's going to happen. So we've got to handle this a little bit better. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. I want to look at some examples of some incredibly great men who had to deal with some discouragement. We see that we're in the company of Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to be discouraged. Let's talk about Jeremiah for just a moment. Jeremiah, I don't hesitate to say that he is my favorite of the prophets. You read Jeremiah, and every time you read it, you love him that much more. But there's a reason he's called the weeping prophet. It wasn't easy for him. The work God gave him was not easy. The things he had to endure while performing that work, it was not easy. And this is one of those times. And if you look in chapter 20, look in verse 22. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And he smote Jeremiah the prophet. He put him in the stocks that were in the high gate. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah is doing exactly what God told him to do. He's speaking the message God told him to speak. And he gets beat for it. And he gets put in the stockades as the laughingstock of town. How would you respond to that? I don't know how me and you might arrogantly say we would respond to it. Jeremiah responded to it. Discouraging. That hurt him. That affected him. And it culminates, look in verse 14. Here's Jeremiah's attitude at this time in his life. Jeremiah 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day that I was born. Let not the day my mother bore me be blessed. You talk about discouraged. This is not some teenage bad hair day. There's been a lot of teenage, oh, I wished I'd never been born. This is Jeremiah the prophet. And he said, I wished I had never been born. That's discouragement. You're not alone. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's talk about Elijah. Elijah is just talking for the whole group. There's a lot of people that would rank Elijah as one of the greatest of the prophets, if not the greatest of the prophets. And we're picking up in chapter 19. And to save us some time, I want to remind you what happened in chapter 18. That was that incredible event at Mount Carmel where he goes up against, 850 false prophets, basically. And they had the contest, for lack of a better word. And God brings fire down from heaven. And he shows who the true God of this universe is. And everybody there saw that. Everybody witnessed that. And then those false prophets lost their life that day. And can you imagine Elijah thinking, finally, Israel's going to repent. After seeing this incredible sign of God's power, Israel will repent. And that's not what happened. They stayed as hard as they always were. They didn't repent at that. And then in chapter 19, verse 1 and 2 or so, Queen Jezebel puts a price on Elijah's head. She basically just opens him up to any hired gun out there. And the idea is, you go kill him. I'll reward you for that. She just opens up his neck to anybody who can find him and kill him. Elijah is discouraged. The man who less than 24 hours prior, through the power of God, was calling fire down from heaven, he's now running for his life. Look in verse 3. When he saw that, that's talking about the threat that had been made from Jezebel about death. In verse 3, when he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life. And then next time we see him, he's going to be down in the Sinai Peninsula. He is gone. So afraid. Look in verse 4. He went a day's journey in the wilderness. He came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested that he might die. He's in taste. He's in touch with Jeremiah's emotion. This would be roughly 2 days, I guess, after the event on Mount Carmel. And he sits under a tree full of discouragement and said, you know, I might as well die right now. I'm okay if I die today. That's how discouraged he is. Look in verse 10. He's now speaking with God. He says, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They kill the prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it. That sounds like discouragement to me. That sounds like moving into some depression for me. He says, I'm all that's left. Nobody else loves you. Nobody else is serving you. That's what he feels like. He is alone. You ever been there? You're not alone in that thought. Jeremiah, I wish I'd never been born. Elijah, I wished I could die. That's discouragement. And it came because both of those men did exactly what they were asked to do. Now think about that. Even doing right, even doing godly things, even being faithful, that very act in itself can lead to some discouraging times. Now, how do we handle that? Now, we're going to come back to Jeremiah and Elijah later on. We have to start making some applications for ourselves now. If Jeremiah can get discouraged, I'd be an awful arrogant man to think I couldn't be. If Elijah, the great prophet, can be discouraged, we would have to be awful arrogant to think that we're so strong we would never be. That's ignorance talking. Discouragement's going to happen. If it hasn't already, it will. So let's just look at some ways that in the future, the past is the past, but even going forward, what are some things that can just eat away at us? It might be just tragedies in life, accidents, illnesses. The wind can leave our sail almost in the blink of an eye. Tragedies and horrible things happen in our life, and discouragement occurs. What about mental traumas? The things that maybe our health is good. The heart's doing what it's supposed to do. Liver's doing what it's supposed to do. But there's things in our mind, and we just have a hard time moving on. Have a hard time dealing with them. Heartaches, disappointments, family dynamics, a million different things. Physically, we're well. Mentally, there's a lot of things just kicking us right smack in the gut. And discouragement happens. Material issues happen. We live in a material world. And we talked the other night, we're working every day. We're fighting, remember, to overcome worldliness. But there are some material things that can affect us. There's the loss of jobs when you have a family to provide for. There are financial blows that are serious, and that is going to cause some discouragement. That's going to cause some sleepless nights. What about deaths? I think it's a true statement to say that nobody on the face of the earth ought to handle death more easily than a Christian, because we believe and have faith and trust in a just and impartial God. We ought to be able to handle death better than anyone, but that does not mean that when somebody we love more than we love our own breath, when they die, that hurts. And when they die, that discourages. There are things that we have to enter turmoil over. Death can bring about discouragement to us. What about aging? Some in this room could speak to this a whole lot better than I can. There are some in this room who will remember the day you could do anything you wanted, as long as you wanted, when you wanted. Didn't get tired. Didn't get weak. You didn't wear out. Your knees didn't hurt. Your shoulders didn't hurt. You remember those days. Some of them, it was a long time ago, weren't they? Aging happens. And maybe you sit on your couch and that can bring discouragement because you would like to do this and you can't. You would like to go do this and you can't. That brings discouragement. Now, before we move on, I want to throw in an aside real quick before we move any farther from that. Just a parenthesis, if you'll allow me. Because you know I love you. And for those of you who are dealing with that, those of you that are dealing with issues of age, you keep fighting the fight that you're fighting. You keep plugging along to the best that you can. But don't quit too soon. Don't think back and say, you know, I did my part at Oak Grove. I fought the battles at Oak Grove. But now we're going to let him do it. And we're going to let her do it. I've taught my Bible classes. Now we're going to let you do what you can as long as you can. And I'm not the one to say what that is. But I'm just encouraging you, don't retire too early from the spiritual war. Don't retire too early from the work of this church, because you're such an important part of it. Do what you can as long as you can, and don't be content to sit back and let others take on the work. They will do their part, but you continue to do your part as long as you can. Overcome this discouraging feeling that you might have about not being able to do what you used to do. But you can still do what you can do now, and do it until you can. It's still day. It's not night for you yet. Night's coming for us all, but it's still day for you, so you work. And you work as long as you can. This is a discouraging thing. What about personal guilt, personal failures? That's a discouraging thing. It might be some of these things, I hope this has not been happening, but it might be that as we've gone through this week, some of you have been just putting a mental checklist. Yeah, I struggle with disillusionment. Yeah, I'm struggling with worldliness coming out of my ears. I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that. How did I get this trifecta? And so now we're beating ourselves up. That's not what these are about. These are not to discourage us. They're to encourage us. All of these things that we've been talking about, we can overcome them. But we look at ourselves with an impartial eye, and our weaknesses make us sick. And the things that, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that we read, I know not to do this and I do it. And I know to do this, but I don't. And we just want to pound ourselves for it. And all of a sudden, this guilt that builds up. And it's almost like if I came and asked you to forgive me, you could forgive me, but you can't hardly forgive yourself. And so guilt piles up, and our personal failures pile up, and now we're discouraged about that. And then we could just put a big et cetera down there. There's no way, we can't take the time to put all the various things that discourage us. Lots of things discourage us. But overcoming it, regardless of the source, there are some things we can do to overcome these things. Look in the sixth Psalm. One last verse before we begin making some applications. The sixth Psalm, Psalm 6, verse 6. See if this sounds familiar to us. See if we've ever laid down in a bed like what's being described here. Psalm 6, verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. You ever been in a bed like that? Can't sleep. Restless. Flipping, flopping, turning, jumping, and maybe tears are falling. Maybe sweats, whatever it is. This is an uncomfortable rest. This is an unpeaceful rest. And discouragement can bring a lot of those. And there might be night after night after night of them. Has this ever been our bed? We ever laid in a bed like this? Because we're not alone. For whatever the reason is, we know this feeling. We know this weariness. What we're going to do tonight is remind ourselves there are some practical, realistic ways that we can work to overcome these things. Discouragement is going to happen. Remember the definition of it. Temporary feelings. It's not that protracted, extended, that just kind of hangs around and puts up a tent in the heart. We can get beyond that. We can't get beyond discouragements in a sinful world. Discouragements are going to happen, and they're going to happen until our lights get punched out at the end. But whatever the source is, we can overcome them so that they remain temporary, so that they don't get the best of us, so that the end result, we don't lose our faith over them. They don't have to be the victor. There is a way out, and we don't have to be enslaved to these things. So let's talk about some things that we can do. And I'm not sure how to best go about this. In overcoming discouragement, what happens is when we are discouraged, there are some things we tend to do. And it seems to be like they're across the board. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we came from. There are some things we tend to do when discouraged that are just common to humanity. And if we can overcome those tendencies, we can keep the discouragements temporary. So let's talk about some of them. When discouraged, and certainly we don't want to show our hands going up tonight, but what tends to happen sometimes when discouraged is we tend to get what we call tunnel vision, and we just get so negatively focused. All we think about is the discouraging thing. All we think about is that disappointment that's in our life. Again, it's just this tunnel vision. We can't see happiness over here. We can't see encouragement over there. We can't see this good thing in our life that God continues to bless us with. All we do is just look at what the bad thing is. And it consumes us. And what happens is that disappointment gets bigger. It begins to kind of widen out a little bit. It takes us deeper down into that disappointment, into that depression stage. We are what we think about. If we constantly have our mind on immoral things, we're going to be an immoral person. If we constantly have our mind on more and more and more stuff, we're going to become a covetous person. We are what we think. It's how we're made. It's how God created us. And if what we think on continually is negative things, we're going to be a negative person. I don't know what I did, Brad. Maybe I did something. I don't know. But we don't have to have it. You know, there was a lot of lessons preached before PowerPoint ever existed. I think we'll be okay. So let's just keep on going. We tend to overstate the situation. In those eras of discouragement, how you doing? Awful. Oh, that's awful. How you doing? Oh, it's just useless. How you doing? Oh, woe is me. How you doing? Oh, I wish, like Jeremiah said something, oh, I wish I could just die. Life's not worth the living. I got news for you. If that's what's coming out of your mouth, you're going to be in a real discouraged state for a long time. When everything, all you think of is bad. All you think of is disappointing. All you think of is evil. Turn to Proverbs 16. You're in Psalms. Just turn over to the next book. Proverbs 16. Give some attention to the positive that's in our life. Brad, did I do something while everybody's flipping? Did this something I did? Did I? Okay. I'm going to make sure I don't do it again. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Let me ask a question. Have you already made up your mind that you're going to complain tomorrow? Is that just part of our life? We already know that tomorrow, to somebody, I'm going to complain about my state of life, my situation in life, my discouraging part of life. Have you already made up your mind to do that? Because that's not what has to come out of our mouth. Sweet words can come out of our mouth even when we're hurting. A honeycomb of sweetness can come out of our mouth even when we're discouraged. We don't have to wallow in it, I guess is the point. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Much more familiar to us than that proverb was. There's so many nuggets of truth in the Proverbs, and they kind of get blended together sometimes. But Philippians 4, you know this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. See if that doesn't change our philosophy of life. See if it doesn't change our outlook on life. The tendency when discouraged is to emphasize the negative. It's to focus on and zero in on all the things that's wrong with our life. All the things we're not getting about why life is not fair. When if we could just change how we think, life's going to continue to not be fair. Life is going to continue to disappoint. Life is going to continue to discourage. But we don't have to live our life with that on our mind every single day. Because that's going to go from discouragement to depression. And there are some serious consequences with that. When discouraged, the tendency is, across the board, to just think about ourselves. The way we overcome that is we've got to look outside of ourselves. Look in Luke 23. Again, it's just the humanity about us, the human nature of us. When we are discouraged, when things are not going our way, what we do is we focus on us. Jesus didn't do that. Remember, in Matthew 23, we saw how discouraged he was. I love you. I want to help. I want to do something good for you. You won't let me. And now in Luke 23, you know exactly where we are. He's on the cross. The kangaroo court of lies and all that shenanigans has been done. The slapping, the spitting, the scourging, all that has been done. The walk to Calvary has been done. The nails are in place. He is hanging on the cross. In Matthew 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Even while on the cross, his thoughts weren't all consumed with even himself then. Still thinking of others. I remember back on when Ivan happened. And many of you, I doubt there was a person here that didn't get affected by that in some form or fashion. And I can remember, Gladden. Because that he and Wilma's house got hit. They had a lot of damage. And I can remember Gladden a couple days after. I guess it had been the next time we were at services after that storm. He said he was telling me that he had gone to somebody's house. I forgot whose it was. But he said, I had to get away from our own house. There was enough work going on there. I wanted to go help somebody else. I wasn't the only one, is the point he was making. I wasn't the only one that was hurting that week. I wasn't the only one who had some troubles that week. And so he left his at home and went off somewhere else. Discouraging things happen. The tendency is to just become consumed with us. The tendency is self-centeredness. The tendency is to wallow in our own misfortune. The tendency is to fret over our own situation, and we forget. Remember that list? I'll real quickly run back. There's a lot of people hurting from a lot of different ways. There's a lot of people discouraged for a lot of different ways, even at the same time that we ourselves are discouraged. There's other yards we can go drag some brush out of, isn't it? There's other people we can be helping, even when we ourselves are in need of some things. Look outside of ourselves. The tendency is to just focus on the negative. Overcome that and see if we don't handle discouragement better. The tendency is to just think about ourselves and ourselves alone. If we can get ourselves, as hard as that is, if we can get ourselves to look to some needs of others, even while we're hurting, see if we can't handle disappointments a little bit better. The tendency is, while we are discouraged, the tendency is to crawl into a shell. The way we overcome it is beware of doing that very thing. Idleness is a problem when we're discouraged. We want to go into the closet. We want to turn the lights out, get on the couch, wrap up in a blanket, and watch some old love stories from the 1970s. While the world is still spinning. While we are still supposedly engaged in a spiritual war, but we've taken ourselves off the battlefield by choice. Idleness is a problem. We go into that shell. We allow the problem to fester. Do you remember I mentioned my friend last night? Do something. There's a lot for us to do. And we don't have to be 20 years old at the epitome of our strength to do some of those things. Do something. Get busy. It's not, I always say this, it's hard to serve God properly while we spend most of our day belly aching. Think about that. All the day is just spent complaining and moaning and groaning. It's really, really hard to do something positive for the cause of Christ. We can't become idle. Now go back to Jeremiah chapter 21. Let's talk about those two men we looked at earlier. And as you're turning back to 21, I'll remind you of where we were. In Jeremiah 20, or actually prior to that, excuse me, back in chapters 18 and 19, he had been doing the message he'd been sent. He'd been teaching about repentance. And the fact, if you don't repent, there's going to be a conquering army come, and it's going to take us down. We will fall. Well, they didn't like that message. And remember, he was beaten, and he was stopped. And his response was like mine and yours would have been. His response was discouragement. His response was, I wish I'd never been born. You know how God handled that? You know what God gave him to do? Look in chapter 21, verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Drop down to verse 3. Then Jeremiah said, you go tell Zedekiah, and if you want to take the time to read it when you get home, you can. But I'm just going to paraphrase what happened. In that moment of discouragement, at the moment Jeremiah is thinking, I wished I had never been born, God said, I got some work for you. Get up. Get to work. Here's your message. I want Zedekiah to know something. I want the king to know something. I've got something for him. I've got a message for him. You are my messenger. Get up and get to work. Look back in 1 Kings 19. Would it surprise you if the very same thing occurred then? 1 Kings 19. I wished I were dead. 1 Kings 19. I'm all by myself. Discouragement. Let's pick back up in verse 14. Let's get into Elijah's mind before we see the response from God. Elijah said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, they've thrown down the altars, they've slain the prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. They seek my life to take it away. Oh, woe is me. I'm all that's left. Nobody else loves you. Nobody else cares. My neck is on the chopping block. Life is bad. I wished I were dead. Verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And then if you want to keep on reading when you get home, there it is. I'm paraphrasing it. I've got a message for you. You're going to get up. You're going to leave this peninsula. You're going to walk back. And here's what you're going to say when you get there. Here's who you're going to talk to when you get there. And here's what you're going to tell them when you get there. I've got a job for you. What did basically God tell Jeremiah in his moment of discouragement? Get to work. What did God tell Elijah in his moment of discouragement? Get to work. I got a job for you. I've got some work for you. I have a friend, and I love him. The courage he has, the bluntness he has, the way he can just get cut to a chase, cut to the core of a problem. A man just struggling with some of those very same things that we talked about earlier. And my friend, he went up to him. He said, you know your problem? You need to get busy. You need to do something. If you would get more busy, if you would do this, if you would, I don't know the examples. If you would visit, if you would call this one, if you would write this one, if you would get busy, you would be happier. And I love it for that. I love it for the bluntness of it. I love it for the truthfulness of it. We want to overcome discouragement. We don't want it to become protracted and hang around like a stray dog. And a way we can do that is get busy. Do something. As the old song used to go, there is much to do, there is work on every hand. And we can find some of that to do and we can be busy. The tendency is, when we're discouraged, the tendency is to seek out people who are just discouraged as we are. And then, as the old saying goes, misery loves company. Without a show of hands again, but has that ever happened in our life? I'm feeling bad, feeling down, life's kicking me in the teeth, nothing's working right. Oh, I wished I'd never been born. And so I get with you who feels the same way, and we just feed off each other. My negative thoughts, your negative thoughts, and it's like triple 13 in the grass. Now my negative stuff's growing. Yours is growing. We just feed off of each other. The tendency is, when we're discouraged, sometimes we just wrap ourselves up with people who have similar things, and we throw a big pity party. And so we feed off of each other's discouragement. And what happens is both you and I together, we just sink even deeper into the mud. I go home feeling even worse. You go home feeling even worse. But we feel better about it because I'm not the only one. We hadn't helped each other. We just buried each other deeper into it. Let's seek out some relationships that will uplift us as opposed to tearing us down. When we're discouraged, it's not, remember, we are what we think. It's not a whole big plate of discouragement that we need to be eating. There are people, and I know you know who they are, because some of yours is the very ones that are some of mine. You go to their place, you go to their house, and you go home feeling better. They lift you up. They encourage you. They build you. They make you stronger. Be careful who we associate with in those periods of disappointment, because we don't want somebody who's just throwing fertilizer on it. Build relationships with those who are going to lift us up. When discouraged, the tendency is, as some of these lessons now kind of blend together, the tendency is maybe to become a little bit disillusioned. We begin to have expectations that, okay, discouragement comes to everybody, but it's going to be over tomorrow at 8:37 in the morning. Well, it might not be. Control your expectations. Because getting out of discouragement is not just maybe an overnight issue for some. It's not an overnight process. It takes time to rebound. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, and I don't know how many points and applications can be made of this, but if you look back up into, I think it's, look in verse 8. This is after Elijah had sat under that tree and said, I wished I could just die right here. But God nourished him. He gave him some food through an angel. And in verse 8, it says, he arose, he ate, and he drank, and he went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Now, God could have, while he was sitting under that juniper tree, say, Elijah, get up. I got a job for you down in Damascus. Here's what I want you to say when you get there. But Elijah had a month and a half that he stays in this discouraged state. He stays in this, I'm all alone. There's nobody who can help me. And a month and a half. It wasn't 8:37 the next morning. It was 40 days that he has these inner turmoils and feelings. God is patient with us. But he does expect us to rebound. And we saw that with Jeremiah. We saw that with Elijah. But control your expectations. There's no pixie dust coming that's going to be dropped on your shoulder that's going to get you over this. There's no magic formula. And there's no magic phrase. And because this is not the first century and we have all of God's revealed word now, there's not going to be any miracles. There's not a point for those anymore. There's no miracles coming to get you out of these discouraged times. But turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. We talked earlier about the state of mind, thinking on these positive things. We're basically in that very same paragraph that we'd read of earlier. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. It's not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned, in whatever state I am, therein to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, to be in want. Paul says, I've been there. I've been there. It's been good. It's been bad. And me and you, we experience that too. Remember, there's nothing uncommon to man. Happiness, Paul is saying, is a state of mind. Contentment, a state of mind. I thought about this earlier in the day. I wish I could remember who it was that told me the story. But there was agent came in, a woman who could no longer live alone, could no longer take care of herself, and her family. It was that time when happens to many of our families. It was the time when the nursing home had to come into effect, and the family hated it. The children hated it. They couldn't stand what it was going to do to their mom, and they were wondering how she was going to respond to that. But they, some of the daughters had gone earlier to the room, and they had put up some family pictures and whatever. Maybe some of her own personal items. I don't know all the details. And then And then they took the mother in and they wheeled her into the room and she looked around and she said, "I love it." I doubt she loved it because of the intimacy of it. I doubt she loved it because it was home sweet home. I doubt she loved it because that was her dream, was to end up in a nursing room home. She loved it because she had trained herself to be content wherever she was. And me and you can train ourselves to do the same thing. We can train ourselves to be content even when life is the last thing from what we would want it to be. But here's some things we've got to overcome. Because the tendency is to do the opposite of this. The tendency is to wallow in the negative. The tendency is to just worry about ourselves and not see anything else in the universe. The tendency is to just go into a shell and back out and go into a closet and, like Jeremiah and Elijah, just say, "I'm ready to die." The tendency is to surround ourselves with people who's just feeding the poison. And the tendency is to get discouraged when it doesn't end at 8:37 in the morning like we think it ought to. If we don't work to overcome those tendencies, discouragement's going to hang around way too long. And when it hangs around way too long, it's no longer discouragement, it's depression. And that's a step toward falling away. We want to overcome. We don't want to fall. Discouragement is coming, but what we can see is overcoming is not just necessary, it's possible. I hope this is not a discouraging lesson. That's not what this is about. But we can overcome these things. Get your psalm books out. Jeremiah and Elijah both went on to incredible things. And you know what they were. Jeremiah prophesied God's message for, what was it, 40-something years or so. Incredible how long he served as a prophet to Judah. Elijah, even in times, even during miraculous times in Bible history, there are things that happen during the life of Elijah that just stand out. In an inspired book of incredible events, the days of Elijah were some of the most incredible. That's a man that got over his discouragement. Jeremiah is a man that got over his discouragement. And me and you, if we'll just work to overcome some things, overcome some tendencies, we can overcome our discouragement too. And it's well worth it. We're going to talk more tomorrow. We're getting closer and closer to looking at some of those blessings that come from overcoming. But let's make sure that's our goal. If anyone needs to do anything in a public nature, Christ's blood is ready. Waters of baptism is ready. Wait on your confession. Wait on your repentance. It might be that you're a Christian. You can do that at the seat. But do what you need to do. And let's strive to be what we're supposed to be. Let's sing the song that Nathan chose.